And while Kevin's doing that, I actually wrote up on the back of one of the outlines, I would love to pray for any of you that would want to write a prayer request. Kevin and I are here to serve you, and one of the things that I would like to serve you in is to pray for you during these next days. So I'm actually just going to leave, I don't know where is the best place to leave this, but I'm going to leave it right here. And if you want, I just said name, ministry context, I'd love to hear that, what it is, and then a hope or a prayer request. And I promise to pray every day. I think one of the things for Kevin and I, we really believe that any success, any fruit that we've had in ministry, so much has come through the prayers of others that have prayed for us. And even as we think about our three boys, we've had so many people that have committed to pray for them, and we're so grateful for that, and we want to do that for the people that we minister with as well.
And there we go. And look at this. Watch. See that now? You wanted to be closer, didn't you? Yeah. I sense that. we want you to know, when Sherry talks about praying for you, I will pray too, but she has an incredible intercessory prayer ministry, and she, anytime we do this, she will pray for whatever the need is. She will pray faithfully. I'll pray too, but she'll pray daily. And we want you to know that coming and doing something like this for us, is an incredible privilege, and it's very humbling for us. We've had a chance to gather with Christian leaders, literally all over the world, all over the United States, all over the world. And every time we get to do this, we just thank God, because we, early on in our ministry, we started investing in younger leaders when we were, you know, in our 20s and late 20s. We invested in younger leaders in our 30s and our 40s, and now we're pushing toward 50s. And every chance we get to encourage those who serve the Church of Jesus Christ, who lift up the name of Jesus, who as couples, especially as a team, are serving the living God. For us, it's astounding that we get to do this. And so we want to say thank you for letting us do this. And we also want you to know that through this week, we don't come to speak and do these sessions and then go hide in our room or take off and go do our own thing. We want to serve you. We really feel like we're called here to serve. And so if for any of the men, if there's something that I talk about and it strikes you and you say, well, I'd love to have a conversation with him, or I'd like to pray about that, and can you grab Kevin for half an hour and take a walk and talk? I would love to do that for any of the women. If something strikes you and you want to talk with Sherry and spend time with her, just catch her after a session and say, can we pull aside and just spend some time talking and praying? And we would really consider that an honor. And we want to do that. If you don't, nothing strikes you that you want to talk about, don't feel like you have to, but know that you could. And we want to do that. And we find that one of the best parts of our time together with leaders is the time we get to spend outside the teaching, just being with people and praying and conversing and sharing ideas. The other thing we've realized through our years of ministry is that when we get to do this sort of a thing, we go back to our church better leaders and better ministers because of what we learned from you. And we come away from these things, but even the conversations we've had, we've spent time with three of the pastors now that are here through preaching at the church, through spending time together, and we go back to our room and talk and say, oh, what about this? And we learned that. And so we're being sharpened and we're growing. So we look at this not just as us sharing, but we come to receive. So there's something that strikes you that, you know, a different perspective you want to share with us, please do that. And we will drink that in and receive that and be consider that a gift from the Lord that you would share your hearts and your thoughts with us as well. And so in our times together like this, we have some things to share with you. We hope they're going to be helpful. I asked Sherry if she would kind of open with a scripture that she really has thought a lot about, and kind of open up, talk about our condition of our hearts as we're together tonight.
And to do that, though, I need a volunteer, and a very specific volunteer. I need somebody who loves Mentos. You know the candy Mentos, or what do you call them, lollies? We call them Mentos. What are they called? Mentos, yeah. So nobody loves Mentos? You don't want some candy to eat while you're here?
You're very shy.
Oh. Gerald, come on.
Gerald's wondering if there's candy at all.
Yeah. This is the only time I'm using candy the whole time.
Oh,
so you picked the right thing. Okay. So anyways, Gerald, I need to establish the two truths. One, that I want to give you Mentos, and two, you want to receive Mentos, correct?
Right.
Okay, so I'm like, Kev, can you hold my mic here a minute?
She brings her lunch to help her.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to give you Mentos. Okay, good, good. Now those are yours, and that's what I needed you for. Now you can go back, and now I'm going to explain something. We wanted to give you this picture of a truth. In the book of Psalms, chapter 81, verse 10, the Lord says, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. And why I had Gerald come up and do that was there were two parts going on. There was a giving, and there was a receiving. I wanted to give, and I had everything that I needed to give. But for Gerald to receive that, he had a part to play. He had to open his mouth, as the passage says. And I love that passage. God establishes right up front, I am the Lord your God. And then he reminds us that he's the one who brought us up out of Egypt. He saved us. And then he says, I have something to give to you. You have to get ready to receive it. And that's kind of, we wanted to start that way with that picture. Because in that verse it says, open wide your mouth and then I will fill it. So how wide are you going to open up your mouth? Because God will fill it. You're going to open it up a little bit? You know, Gerald could have put one hand out. That's all he would have got. But he put the two hands out. I've done this before, and I loved it. One woman, she took her shirt and went like this. And I had two bags of M&Ms, and I gave her both bags. I did. So we wanted to just start our whole time together with that picture in mind. Know that God says to you right now, just open yourself up wide because he wants to fill you.
When I think about that, the picture that comes to my mind, have you ever watched a mommy bird coming, either, you know, for real or like on TV or on a movie where a mommy bird comes with food for the baby bird and the baby bird doesn't go like this and open their mouth a little bit? It's like there's a hinge in the baby bird's head and the entire head opens up like this. You know what I mean? The mom puts their mouth inside and that's how I want to be. I want to be like that with God. That's why I said we're going to learn in this time because we've come prayerfully saying, God, teach us and speak to us and help us love you more. We want to love Jesus more. And so in a moment, Sherry's going to just pray that we will be open. And we know coming into this time, some of you started driving at 4 this morning. Some of you have been on planes. Some of you have been dropping kids off places. Some of you, your hearts and your minds are probably racing so fast that right now you're just kind of trying to wind down and slow down and decompress and just be present. Some of you have had such deep hurt or pain or frustration in the last week or two of ministry. You know, you're probably coming here saying, I don't know if I want to learn anything. I just want to go sleep in my room. I just want to go crawl into the blankets and just, you know, and some of you, things are going great and maybe going so great that you feel like you can do anything and you've forgotten you need God to help you to do it. I don't know where you are, but I want to ask Sherry to pray that we would open wide our mouths, that not one of us would miss what God wants to do. Because the only thing that will stand in the way of God doing something amazing and transformational is if we keep our hearts and our mouths shut. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely present. This event has been bathed in prayer. Are we open to receive? And if we are, God's going to amaze us. And if we're not, we'll go through the week, we'll have a nice time, enjoy the weather, enjoy some friends, and go home. But we might have missed the very things that God wants to fill us with. And so, Sherry, would you just pray that God will open our
mouths? Dear Father in heaven, you are the Lord, our God. And you've brought us up. You saved us out of our sin. And through your Son, Jesus, you have given us life and a fullness of life, Lord. And you have showed us love. And God, we come this week and we are hungry. God, we want to know you more. We want to be filled up with you, Lord, so that we can share your love with the world. And so, God, we ask through the power of your Holy Spirit at work in each one of us individually, Lord, you know our name. You know our story. You know the hidden parts in us. You know our deepest needs. Lord, would you touch us deeply? For your glory, God, for our good, that your name would be honored and glorified, Lord. This is our deepest heart's desire. And God, we believe and we know you will answer that. And we want you to know, Lord, we love you. And we thank you for your love for us, Lord. Get us ready. Open our mouths wide and fill it to overflowing. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to just check and make sure. Our amen to finish this session and break into connections. I just grabbed your schedule, but we should be done at 8:30?
Okay.
And we will honor that. That's and be
Kevin's good about that.
Yeah, because and I also want to say, we're praying your hearts will be open, but if you have been traveling all day and at some point your eyes are not entirely open, we're okay with that. We're not going to feel hurt or insulted. If you get a little tired, we know that some of you are probably fatigued at this point. And so, and we'll try to communicate in a way that will keep you energized and interested. Well, I want to begin. I'm going to read from Psalm 139 in just a moment, but I want to begin. And your outlines there, some of you are big note takers, and so you'll see you've got a nice outline you can utilize. Some of you learn better by listening. And you're not a big note taker, that's fine. I don't feel like you have to write notes down. If something strikes you, you know, capture that in your heart or your mind or write it down. But I want to share some of that. We're going to be talking about the life-giving power of self-examination. And I want to begin by just telling you some of my journey. You may have noticed I've got a Band-Aid on my nose here, and it's not for decoration. It's not as an illustration. I have a chunk of my nose that's missing, and it's healing up. This is the 10th basal cell carcinoma I've had removed. They've all been, you know, pretty minor. This one was about the size, you're about that big around. And my journey with all my skin stuff began as a young boy. I grew up in along the coast in Southern California in an area called Huntington Beach. I was born in Newport Beach. Huntington Beach was 5 minutes from the ocean. So from the time I was probably about 10 or 11 years old, on our summer break for about 2 months, we would have one of my buddies or my friends and I would have one of our moms drive us to the beach, drop us off as the sun was coming up with our surfboards and our towels, and somebody else's mom would pick us up as the sun was going down. And we would spend all day on the beach for almost 2 months, every day. I did this for about 4 or 5 years. My mom is a redhead, and I don't have great skin for tanning. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? And so I would burn. And I would burn across my cheeks and my nose, and I would burn again, and I'd burn again until finally it was just raw flesh. And this went on for 5 or 6 years. And I didn't think it was a big deal. This is before we had SPF, sun protection factor. All these. Before, the girls used to put baby oil on their skin so they would burn more. You remember this? And so this is before we realized we were doing something dangerous. And so I never thought about it again. I went into my adult years. My skin all healed up. I was fine. And about 12 years ago, I was standing looking in the mirror one morning, and I had a bump on my cheek. I thought, that's strange. And it was there, and I noticed it, and a couple weeks later it was still there, and I thought, well, I'm not in high school, I'm not getting acne or something. I didn't know what it was. So finally, after a long time, I went to see a doctor. I went to see a dermatologist, and I said, you know, I don't know what this is about. And he looked at it, and he said, oh, you have skin cancer. I thought, well, it's like you're saying, hello, how you doing? I said, is that bad? He says, oh, it's no big deal. He says, it's called basal cell, and we'll run a test. I don't think it's a big deal. So he looked at it, did a test, and he eventually had me come in and I had a little surgery called a Mohs procedure. And it was interesting because he told me, he said, we just need to take a layer of skin and then we'll test it. We'll take another layer of skin if we need to. And I was imagining, when he said layers of skin, I was imagining that they were going to just kind of gently take a soft little layer off and test it. And I didn't realize they were cutting a circle of my face out and removing it and testing it. And then they would do it 4 times. Then they tested again until it was all gone. And then he said to me, now we need to sew it up. Now, I had been sitting all morning with gauze on my face between these little surgeries. And I thought he was just taking little brushing little pieces of my skin off because they gave me shots to – I didn't know what really – I didn't read the literature they gave me as closely as I should have. And so he actually said, now we need to sew it up. I said, sew me up. I said, can I have a mirror, please? He said, well, you don't want to see a mirror right now. I said, no, I really do. So he gave me a mirror, and I looked in the mirror, and the reality, the seriousness hit me very quickly. Because about this big of a size of my face was missing. And they sewed it up, and I was planning on coaching. I coached 3 soccer teams with each of my boys at that time. I was planning on coaching all afternoon. And I had to cancel my coaching. I had to go home. And he said, you need to lay down. If you're too active, it'll bleed from within. And I was like, wow, this is a big deal. He said to me, for the rest of your life, every 6 months, you need to see me or another dermatologist and you need to examine your skin. He said, as a matter of fact, what you should start doing is you should start doing self-examinations of your skin at least once a week. He said, from the tips of your toes to the top of your head, look at all of your skin. And if you see a little problem starting to come up, come and see me. Because if you deal with it when it's a little problem, it'll never become a big problem. If you deal with it when it's a little problem, it will never become a big problem. Anybody see any spiritual parallel here? And this is what began to happen in my mind through this journey. Now this is my 10th surgery. And every time I see a little problem in my skin, I go to my doctor. And he either says, not a big deal, not a problem, false alarm, or he does a surgery, cuts out a chunk of my skin, and I thank him and pay him money. Right? Why? Because he's saving my life. Because he's protecting me. He's doing it, giving me a gift by helping me deal with the problem when it is small, when it's a little deal. And if I ignore it, it can become very, very costly. That's kind of the theme of where we're going to be going through this week, is that we're going to begin to look and say, how do we enter a process of self-examination? I begin to realize that if I could do self-exams for my skin, shouldn't I learn to do self-examinations for my soul? And as leaders, you could all, right now, if I said, here's the microphone, tell me about somebody in leadership that you have watched crash and no longer be in leadership within the church. Morally, financially, personal health, relationally. We could spend the whole night and end up in tears, every one of us, telling stories. Some of them would be our own stories, if we were to be honest. And I began to think, I don't want to have that story to tell. I want to run the race, like the Apostle Paul says, run the race faithfully, run the race to the end. I want to cross that finish line, still being faithful to Jesus. And so in this journey with my skin, I began to realize this was a bigger deal than I ever thought it was. And so you see in your outline that the urgent need for self-examination. I began to realize with my skin there was an urgent need. I began to realize with my soul, if it's important for me to examine my skin once a week, how much more important for me to examine my soul? How much more important for you as a leader to examine your soul? Especially because the enemy will be working against you even stronger because you are leaders in the church. Mm-hmm. Every one of you are leaders in the church. And some of you say, well, no, my husband's a leader in the church. No, you're a leader in the church. The two become one, right? Mm-hmm. You're a team. That means you're not exempt from both responsibility and attack. And so if there's potential for that attack, we've got to learn to examine and say, where's the areas where things are starting to become dangerous? Well, then after probably my third or fourth surgery, Jack Deckinger, who has become a personal friend of mine, my dermatologist has become such a good friend because I spend more time with him than I would like to spend with him, but he's a great Christian man, and he's taken great care of me. And after the third or fourth surgery, he actually said to me, he said, how are you doing your skin exams? I told him I'd just going to look over my skin and look for things. I know what to look for now. He's taught me what to look for. And then he said to me, how are you examining your back? I said, well, I just kind of look in the mirror and turn around really quickly and try to kind of look like that. He said, that's not going to work. And I want Sherry to talk about what happened from that point on.
Well, because we can't see every part of our lives, we need other people to help us. And, you know, God has called us to be in community with each other. And one of the things that Kevin and I have talked about, even as we talk about who's watching our back, is we realize that as leaders, we have some blind spots. You know, when you're driving and you have those blind spots, that's just part of life. There's you know, there's places you can't see. And we also, Kevin and I really talked about not just blind spots, but we also have hidden spots. I think just because of our sinful humanity, there's places in us that maybe we don't even really realize, or maybe we do realize it and we're hiding those. And so we need some people who we trust, who love us, who can cover our back, who come alongside of us. I know for Kevin and I, we've done that for each other. And so that was just an important.
So I went home after this meeting with Jack, and I said to Sherry, will you be my nurse? She said, what do you mean? I said, I need you to examine my back. And I explained to her what he told me. I said, I'm going to, once a month, I'm going to have you look at my back. I want you to kind of know how my back looks. And if you see anything that looks weird or suspicious or squishy or pink or whatever, you need to tell me. Because I can't see my back. And I wouldn't notice it. What my doctor said to me is this. He said, there are parts of you that you can't see. He said, there's parts of you that you can't see. Any spiritual connections? There are parts of you that you can't see. There's attitudes that are going to creep up in your heart that you're going to miss. And one of the best people, like Sherry said, one of the best people to notice it is your spouse. So will you let them speak into your life? Will you thank them? Men, look at me. Men, will you thank your wife when she points out something in your life that she thinks is the problem? I got an amen. Thank you. Praise Jesus over here. There's a woman's voice. Shocking. Men, will you, you know, can I tell you right now, men, can I tell you that when Sherry points out something in me that's not pleasant, where I'm short with people, tenderness and sensitivity aren't my greatest gifts. So when I'm too abrupt with something, when she points it out to me, my normal response, now we're talking now 30 years into our relationship and 26 years into our marriage. And she's always gentle. And she'll say, Kevin, I wonder if in this situation you handle this a little bit harshly. She'll be very gentle with me. She'll tell me. My first response almost always is this. Oh, no, I didn't. Because I'm very mature. I'll say, no, I didn't. She'll say, well, I think you might have hurt that person's feelings. I think you might have handled that a little bit too abruptly. And then after I go through my no, I didn't phase, and I realize that I probably did come off a little too hard with somebody, a little too tough, my second response is usually this. Well, that's their problem. They're too sensitive, right? And then I'll finally say to her, you really think? And she'll say, yeah, I think you should go and check in with them. And almost invariably when I do, when I finally listen to the counsel and the way she sees the parts of me I can't see, when I go and check in with the person, they'll usually very graciously say, oh, I understand how you're wired and who you are, but yeah, that kind of hurt me. Okay. I'm sorry. And God's teaching me. But even, I mean, I teach this stuff and still my first response is to defend myself. My first response is to say, no, I didn't. Or what about you? Because I'm in junior high, I'm a child. I mean, what about you? And so men, do you listen? Wives, women, do you listen when your husband says, honey, I wonder if, and you fill in the blank. We're one of the best people to keep each other accountable, but also bringing other people in our lives to do the same. And so on that first page there, we just wanted to begin.
But just a side note, actually, one of the things that we found out as a practical thing was that just to sort of preface it by saying, would this be a good time to talk about something that I'm seeing in your life? That has worked really well. Than to just say, hey, Kev, I think that you handled...
And when you say to me, and she'll say to me, Kevin, would this be a good time to share something I have a concern about in the way you might have handled something? What do I always say when you ask me?
Give me a couple minutes.
I don't think I've ever said, let me have it, baby. I always just say, give me a little time. And I'll go away, and I'll pray. And I'll say, Lord, keep me from being defensive. Keep me from being childish. Help me listen to my, let you put this woman in my life to speak truth to me. And then the second thing I do is I try to figure out what it is. I play the game like I'm like, okay, what did I do this time?
Doesn't happen very much anymore. You've gotten good.
But then like if I think in my mind what it's going to be, and then she shares the thing that I thought of, I should have at least have the, or at least I guessed it right. So that's but that's part of that partnership. So in your notes there, the wisdom of intentional accountability. And then it's just as a special word for couples in ministry. That's kind of what we're talking about here. Allow and invite your spouse to speak the truth to you. But Sherry said something very important, and that is that we have learned with each other to not just come and unload it. Oh, honey, by the way, I noticed this, blah, blah, blah. But to say, hey, would this be a good time to share something, but I noticed that might be a concern that we should talk about. And that allows the person to pray and to prepare, and you don't ambush them. And it doesn't come, and also it allows us a chance to not be, it's not being critical. It's not, you did this wrong. It's coming gently and saying, I love you, and I know you love me, and we want each other to become the best version of what we can be for Jesus. And so could I share something with you that I think would help bring some perspective? And I'd say when Sherry shares things with me now, I'd say probably 90% of the time. After we talk and I really think about it, I think, yeah, I think she's right. But 10% of the time I look at it, I think, that's more her sensitivity than, and sometimes I don't always just go, oh, that's absolutely right. I have to use wisdom in that too. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so, fair. But that's kind of how we journey together in that. So what I want to do is we're going to shift now into a process we're going to go through over the next 4 days. And we're going to walk through this process, I think, 9 times. And that is we're going to take a part of our body, use it as an image of a spiritual learning point, our minds. We're going to examine our minds. Are they being all that God? We're going to examine our hearts. We're going to examine our hands. We're going to examine our spine. We're going to examine our funny bone. Are you funny? You should be. You're a Christian. The word joy is used more in the Bible than most people know. And we're going to look at ourselves. And what I'm going to ask Sherry to do is pray that as we walk through this process of self-examination, that we will be humble enough to let God speak to us. That we won't say, when we get on a topic that makes us uncomfortable and you find yourself shutting down or closing off or sort of not listening, that's probably a good sign that you need to really pay attention because the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. So should we just pray and just share how we're going to walk into this?
And actually, I would like to just lead a time of silent prayer, really, for each one of us just to come before the Lord and ask the Lord to do that, to reveal himself to us. In the areas, you know, as Kevin said, I think there's 9 areas, and who knows what areas, you know, maybe for some of you here it'll be 1 area, maybe for some it'll be 9, and that's okay, but let the Lord lead you in this time, and so I'm just going to say a sentence, and then we're going to be silent and pray.
And after that, I'm going to share a short scripture before we
pray. Great. Okay. So. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you individually right now, and we ask you to search our hearts and give us a clear picture of how much you love us and your great plan for our life, Lord. Let us humbly seek you now.